Hello, I'm Jane Pratt, and I'm joined on this part of Chatterbox by
Robin Quine.
Before we hear Information Desk, we continue our news items, which include a prisoner who is charged with the attempted murder and a group responsible for a street brawl are sentenced, but first the new head of the NNAB calls for more input into town planning.
As swathes of Norwich city centre become shared use, the new chief executive of the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind has laid down a challenge for city planners. Gina Dormer started in her role in August and has now thrown down a gauntlet for council officers. Walk in someone else's shoes with a visual impairment and see how it feels, she said. It is such a powerful thing. It might not cause a revolution, but it shows you are willing. It comes as the NNAB says it is disappointed after contributing to successive council consultations, only to have no impact on the result. We have a challenge on our hands in regard to shared space, said Ms. Dormer. We do participate very actively in consultations the council runs, and they do seek our views on pedestrianised areas and shared space. One of the frustrating things is the feedback we give isn't incorporated into what happens. I have expressed our views in very strong terms, and while we appreciate these changes are happening, we're really disappointed. It is good we're involved in consultation, but we need to be more than a box being ticked. When we come forward with rational and logical reasons, we would like to feel they are being taken on board.
The Broads Authority has granted permission to a local town council to divide up a series of existing moorings along the River Yare for different purposes. Thorpe St Andrew Town Council had applied to the authority to change the use of the moorings at Thorpe River Green to mixed use. This included 43 metres at the eastern end of the green to be designated for commercial moorings, 75 metres in the central area as short-stay moorings, and 100 metres at the western end for private lease. The area is a popular public open space and contains a war memorial and a number of paths and benches for recreational use. The moorings had been managed by the Broads Authority but were transferred to the council this year. A number of objections to the application were put forward, most of which related to the private moorings. The committee voted in favour of the application, subject to conditions.
A school could get a £2,000 boost if people living close to it become greener and start to recycle their rubbish correctly. An innovative new scheme will see Catton Grove Primary School rewarded if people living within the school catchment area make sure they sort out their recycling properly and use their food waste caddies. The Recycling Stars campaign has been designed to get children of people living in that part of Norwich to encourage their mums and dads to recycle more and to do it correctly. Run by the city and county councils, people who take part in the initiative will be rewarded with star vouchers each time that a recycling bin is presented containing only clean, dry and loose recyclables. Bonus stars will also be earned when people make use of their food waste caddy. After they are rewarded, the vouchers can then be converted into cash for the school. Kevin Maguire, Norwich City Council Cabinet Member for Waste and Recycling, said, "Recycling Stars is all about working together with the local community to improve the quality and quantity of recycling we collect."
The group responsible for an affray on a Norwich estate involving makeshift weapons and dogs has been sentenced as the last defendant appeared before Norwich Crown Court. The brawl spilled into Motham Road in North Earlham last year and involved up to 30 people in the presence of children. Five defendants were sentenced when CCTV was shown to the court. The court was told that although no one was injured in the affray, a car was damaged, Items were thrown at a house, and makeshift weapons and dogs were used to threaten people. Police patrols in the area were stepped up, allowing the disorder to offer reassurance to local residents.
A century ago, the Battle of Passchendaele came to an end. It had claimed the lives of thousands of British soldiers as one of the bloodiest battles of the First World War. A book listing 173,000 casualties who lost their lives in Belgium during the war is on display at St. Peter Mancroft Church. It is accompanied by five empty chairs from St. Adumara's Church in the Belgian village of Passchendaele. It was completely rebuilt after the war, after Ypres was torn apart by ferocious fighting. Each chair represents the casualties of 1 year of the conflict. The installation is titled The Assembly, conceived by Derbyshire artist Val Carman, and is touring the British Isles.
Holidaymakers are increasingly showing a preference for accommodation with wood-burning stoves or hot tubs as colder weather sets in. This comes as a number of holiday businesses reported an increase in bookings over the October half term with cottages.com, saying one of the most searched for terms was for properties with wood-burning stoves. Lowestoft-based self-catering specialist Ho Seasons said there had been a surge in bookings for properties with hot tubs. Cottages.com area manager Victoria Schofield said bookings over the half-term period in November had risen by had risen by 27% year on year.
An inmate is due in court after being charged with the attempted murder of two prison officers at HMP Norwich. Caro Adams, aged 21, from London, is accused of attacking the officers with a bladed weapon. In the alleged attack, a prison officer who had been working at HMP Norwich for less than a week was injured in the neck. Latest figures show there was an attack at the prison once a day on average in the first half of this year. There were 73 attacks on staff in the prison last year, more than treble the number in 2013, and a 124% increase in the total number of assaults in HMP Norwich from 2013 to 2016. The rise has been blamed on overcrowding and staff shortages.
Now to Information Desk. Information Desk. Thank you, Joan Aubrey, for your kind donation, which is making its way via Peter Wilson to our treasurer.
As part of our 40th anniversary celebrations next year, Chatterbox are sponsoring a large statue of a hare to join the Go-Go Hares Trail, similar to the dragons, gorillas and elephants that have decorated Norwich over the past few years. Our basic design will be bright yellow with black sunglasses, similar to our smiley face logo. We would like to include examples of newspapers, such as headlines or articles, and would like suggestions from you as to what they should say. Do you recall an event you would like to have included? It could be when the Canaries went up to the Premiership, or down. Was there a special headline on the same day you got married, celebrated an anniversary, or a special birthday? Any big Norwich news that could be included. They will also feature in Braille, and, if it works, audio.
As Christmas will soon be upon us, we would like dedications for records from you. We have a surprise host for this year's special Chatterbox Christmas recording, and he will be spinning some platters especially for you. However, we need to receive these dedications in the next 2 weeks, and for the Go-Go Hares in 4 weeks, so please leave a message for either on 01603 765 365 or email office@cbtn.org.uk.
If you're interested in arts and crafts, including basket weaving, textiles, clay work, painting, sculpture, papier-mâché or anything else you would like to try, then give Mark or Elaine a call on 01603 629 558 or email marksmith@nnab.org.uk to book your place. Sessions are held on Wednesdays between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. or Thursdays between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. and cost £3.
That's all from Information Desk for this week. Now to more stories, including an infant school with a glowing inspection report and birth defects have been linked to an epilepsy drug. But first, building work begins at the site of a new hospice in the heart of Norfolk.
Following the launch 3 years ago by the Duchess of Cambridge, the East Anglia's children hospices, each, Nook appeal has hit £7 million. The first cutting of the turf has taken place at the five-acre Framlingham Earl site for the specialist building. When finished, the new seven-bedroom Nook Hospice will replace the Each Quiddenham Hospice, which opened in 1991. Each chief executive, Graham Butland, said, "As anyone who has had a hand in helping us to this point knows, the changing and more complex needs of the children and young people we care for and the increased demand for our service means we've outgrown our current Norfolk Hospice in Quiddenham. The Nook will be a 21st century hospice to provide 21st century care, and we're absolutely thrilled to be getting the building underway. Let's not forget, though, that we still have to raise £3 million before the Nook is completed." Fundraising permitting, Each hopes the project will be completed by spring 2019.
Norwich is preparing to welcome a second Cochina Mexican and Margaritas restaurant, which is due to open in the famous Samson and Hercules building. As part of the refurbishments, the iconic statues that stand at the porch of the building have been repainted white. The oak pillars were first installed to hold up the porch 360 years ago. In the intervening period, the statues were removed and left in the rear courtyard for more than a century. Samson lost an arm, and Icon Nightclub ultimately replaced them with fiberglass replicas in 1999. The club closed in 2003, and Samson and Hercules stood guard to an empty building for more than a decade, although they were brightly redecorated for an art exhibition in 2012. The original carved oak Samson statue was removed from Norfolk Collection Centre in 2014 and sent to London to undergo conservation work. Meanwhile, the replicas underwent a striking makeover in the same year when the building was reopened as a lobster restaurant and the statues were painted bright red, an unpopular choice with many who felt the new look was not in keeping with the building's surroundings. Cochina opened its first restaurant in Norwich at the Terrace in Castle Mall, and the new restaurant is due to open soon. The restaurant will be offering customers pamphlets detailing the eclectic history of the building upon opening.
The country's favourite Time Lord has been around for more than half a century, but there's never been an adventure set in Norfolk until now. In one of the Big Finish Productions' latest series of audio dramas, David Tennant and Billy Piper reprise their TV roles as the 10th Doctor and Rose Tyler to defend Norwich in an alien invasion story called Infamy of the Zaros. Writer John Dorney used to live in Beechamwell near Swaffham, and he chose the county to feature in the hour-long drama as it was an unlikely target for alien invasion. He said, "I've been to Norwich quite a bit. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. I made sure the Doctor was very complimentary about the city in the script. I think David Tennant has also been to Norwich. I just thought it felt a little bit more quirky and individual for the story idea." He said that some of Norwich's most famous landmarks were name-checked in the story, with much of the action taking place at Whitlingham Country Park, just outside the city. Mr. Dorney added, "In my head, it was set in Norwich's covered market, with the hostages taken by aliens to Whitlingham Country Park. It's the first Doctor Who set in Norwich and in Norfolk, to my knowledge. I once wrote an audio drama about Boudicca, who was from East Anglia, starring another former Doctor Who, Tom Baker, which was recorded in about 2013, but that was set in Colchester."
The community behind a caring and supportive Norwich Infant and Nursery School are celebrating a glowing inspection report. West Earlham Infant and Nursery School on Scarnell Road was told it is outstanding across the board by Ofsted inspectors. Inspectors said leaders shared exceptionally high expectations of pupils, and praise was given to head teacher Binks Neat Evans. Strong moral purpose to secure the very best for her pupils. They praised pupils' exemplary behaviour, the school's caring and supportive environment, and school governor's clear vision. The head teacher's vision of a strongly inclusive school where every pupil achieves their very best has been embraced by pupils and staff, they said. This has led to all pupils, regardless of individual need or starting point, feeling safe and achieving outstanding results. In particular, the watchdog noted the school's investment in teaching in teacher assistant training and its focus on healthy living.
A Norwich family whose car was damaged in a spate of similar crimes said it is the fifth time they have been targeted. Police said they arrested four teenagers in connection with 20 reports of criminal damage in the Coleman Road area of Earlham. One family who live near Coleman Road said the wing mirrors were knocked off their car and dents were left in the roof and doors. They said it was the fifth time their car had been damaged in the last few months and that they had only recently paid out for new wing mirrors. They said police and forensics officers visited the next morning and added, "This time was definitely the worst because they damaged a lot of cars in one night. The forensics guy had been called to four different cars that morning." Police said after receiving the calls, they launched a search and found the boys, who were all from the Norwich area. They were arrested on suspicion of criminal damage and were taken to police headquarters in Wyndham for questioning.
When Becky Parrish became pregnant with her second child in 2009, she asked medics whether she could continue to take her epilepsy medication, sodium valproate. She was told the drug she was using, known as Epilim, was fine, but it has now been linked to birth defects and autism in thousands of children whose mums took it during pregnancy, including her son. More than 40 years earlier, tests on animals showed there was a risk of birth defects from sodium valproate. But a hearing of the European Medicines Agency heard in September this year that it has decided to not make that public because UK regulators did not want to cause fruitless anxiety. Now a warning on the drug's packet reads, "This medicine can seriously harm an unborn baby." For Mrs. Parrish from Mile Cross, Julie Marjot from Wyndham, and thousands of other mums in the country, that warning has come too late.
A couple with a lifelong love of music are celebrating 30 years of running Norwich's St. George's Music Shop. Chris and Anne Duarte, both 57, took over St. George's Music Shop in November 1987 after moving to the city from London, where Mrs. Duarte worked for a record shop and Mr. Duarte worked for the BBC. And 3 decades later, the couple, who first met at Dartington College of Arts, are still enjoying being at the helm of the St. George's Street store, which sells all kinds of printed music as well as accessories for instruments. St George's Music Shop is now the only sheet music shop in the city, and the couple believe it has stood the test of time because they have adapted the business to the changing times. They were also one of the first music shops to have a website.
The organiser of the largest care convention outside London has said Norfolk needs to look to the future of the sector if things are to change. Willie Cruikshank, Director of Careology and organiser of the Norfolk Care Convention, welcomed hundreds of people to the Norfolk Showground. From care homes to community providers to charities, interested parties took part in a live debate before engaging in discussions from experts in the industry. Mr. Cruikshank said the event was important, as going forward, different agencies needed to come together to shape care. The future of social care in Norfolk is not just a county council problem, he said. It's not a care at home problem. We all have a part to play in this. He said, as it stands, there are around 2,000 vacant positions in the sector in Norfolk. And if the workforce is to keep up with the demand, 10,000 more care workers will be needed by 2030. So either we accept that we must all pay more for care, or we need to start thinking differently about the way we do things.
Our second feature is written by Rachel Murray, who explains how a Children in Need funded project is lighting up our hospital wards. It is read by Sarah Lusher.